Today we're chatting with Aaron Sims, public address announcer of the Madison Mallards and the Milwaukee Admirals.
There's something I have to ask you.
Do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
May I ask you a question?
That is a question. Would you like to ask me another one?
Please don't interrupt me when I'm asking rhetorical questions.
There are no stupid questions, just stupid people.
You remember Beatlemania?
Yeah, I heard about that.
That was awesome.
Aaron was raised in a suburb of St. Paul, Minnesota. He played all sorts of sports as a kid until he got hurt at age 16. After that, he started bringing a tape recorder to games, started doing play-by-play. He attended Winona State University and moved to Madison in 1999 to work in radio. He now lives in Milwaukee and works for the Admirals full-time. So, thank you very much, Aaron, for being with us today. Didn't want to get too much into the bio because we wanted to hear kind of the backstory of how you became the broadcaster you are today. And you work for the Milwaukee Admirals, which is a hockey team, of course.
Correct.
And also you work for the Madison Mallards, right? Baseball team.
That is correct.
Madison.
Yep.
Okay,
yep,
so
indeed.
Tell us about what you do with each of those teams and how did they come about? What are your responsibilities?
When I was working in Madison full time at the radio station, the Mallards came in about February of 2001. So they were really a last minute addition to the sports landscape that season. And our radio station got involved, and I actually called the first game, did play by play for the first game. They just, you know, obviously looking for any type of publicity.
Yeah.
And always stayed in touch with Vern Stenman, the general manager, over the years, and went out to a bunch of games and broadcast a couple here and there. And eventually, an opening happened where I wasn't working full time in radio anymore, and they wanted to do full-time radio. So I started off doing play-by-play in 2004. The team won the championship.
Okay.
And then they had a great public address announcer by the name of Rich Reynolds who ended up leaving the team, and they wanted somebody who could crack wise and have some fun and try to put on a show. So then I started doing PA at home games and radio on the road, and after a while, now it's just turned into PA at home games, which I absolutely love. It's a lot of fun to sit there and try to make 5,500 people laugh on a weekly basis and just have a good time.
Well, you definitely do a good job. I can say we've been to quite a few Mallards games over the years and have enjoyed your banter. And you know that's what's cool about minor league baseball is there's like this whole other level of fun that seems to bring into it. And you do a great job of adding a whole other layer to not only the action on the field but the little promotions that they do and just your little comments back and forth. So you do a really fun job, and that's why we wanted to talk to you today.
You know, real quick on that, I mean, that's the great thing about minor league sports in general. I mean, the Mallards can't promote a specific player because these guys are constantly changing and constantly moving around, you know. And the team I work with in Milwaukee, the hockey team, they can't promote a specific player because he may be gone. You know, by the time you do your print ads and everything, he's probably gone.
Wow.
So you got to do the entire show. You got to give people more than just the game itself. The game is the centerpiece, but what can you do above and beyond all of that stuff? And Vern and Steve Schmidt and the Mallards, they recognize that, and I'm fortunate that in Milwaukee I work with a group of people that recognize that as well.
Yeah, it's really neat to how you guys are able to pull that off, and I think it really puts a great thing out there for families to enjoy. From the stuff that we've talked so far and behind the scenes, I guess, you've really wanted to be kind of a broadcaster since you were really little, since you were a kid. So how did that transition go from being, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old to now? What's the brief timeline of your journey?
When I was 8, I wanted to do this. I love sports. I just wanted to be involved, and I recognized that maybe this is the big time pessimist in me that I wasn't going to be playing it. So I did all the things. I emceed the talent shows. I I dabbled a little bit in stand-up comedy. I worked in radio, and I was fortunate in college to end up at Winona State University because they really let you do everything, and the students truly ran the station. So you not only had to worry about public affairs programming, but you also had to worry about the sports and doing a newscast and being a DJ and all types of different music. And so that was a great training ground. And then after that, it was basically I got jobs because I knew a guy and he was working somewhere where they needed help. And then it kept kind of snowballing from there. And honest to goodness, I think I maybe have had one job interview in this business in my entire life. Everything I've gotten is because I've known somebody. I've been fortunate enough that once I get in and I think they recognize that I'm doing my homework and all of that to keep the job. But by and large, you know, honestly, my first interview, I walked into a radio station with a friend of mine, and a friend was working there, and I was going with him for I don't remember why, and the program director was in his office, and he looked out the door, and he said, "Hey, you want a job?" And I said, "Okay." He said, "Come by Thursday night." I said, "Okay," and that was that. I've been really lucky. I haven't really had to stress out and wear the three-piece suit and all of that stuff for job interviews. So I've been very fortunate in that respect.
Well, I think it's kind of neat how certain opportunities present themselves, but it's definitely a lesson just from what you were even saying is like you've put in a lot of work to take the classes and learn what do I need to learn, how do I get experience, and you know, as people that might come to the game would be like, oh, what a fun job that must be, but it's one of those things. It's like anything else. You have to put some time in, you know, work probably the junky jobs in radio and that sort of thing, and then opportunities and it kind of comes across as luck sometimes. But
that's the big thing about it. I mean, you guys know you have to do prep if you want to sound good. I mean, when I get upset, it's when I think that the show is lacking. You know, whether it's me, whether it's the people around me, I get a little upset when not everybody has the full effort into what's going on. We're there to entertain. We're there to, you know, some people might want to forget what's going on in their lives for 3 hours. Some people want to be there and share an experience with their kids or their friends or other members of their family. So whether they're paying $250 or whether they're paying $5, it's our job to put on that show. And you gotta due diligence. You gotta do that to make sure that everything goes off as well as can be.
Yeah. Well, that kind of leads into our next question, Aaron. We're, you know, a lot of people probably assume that you just show up and talk about what you're seeing on the field or on the rink. What's something about your job that most people would be surprised to find out?
When I started doing the radio and for the baseball specifically and even for hockey, I had a bio on every single player in the league that I comprised. I had their complete stats. So, in the baseball league at the time, there were 12 teams, 12 times, 30 guys. So I had a bio on 360 players. I could tell you everything you needed to know about that group of people and the coaches and the stadiums. And I do the same thing in hockey. I don't think you can be overly prepared. There are, especially in baseball, doing a broadcast, you have those moments where you're waiting 40 seconds for the next piece of action to happen. So how do you fill that time? How do you try to keep the listener engaged? And you have to know your stuff. You have to visit with the players. You have to, you know, see what's going on. Try to get these little human interest stories when you can. I try to make myself pretty accessible. When a new guy comes to town, I try to be one of the first two or three people that introduces myself to them. Mm-hmm. Just so they know who I am. And you know, I'm not the weird fat guy that's just walking around, being creepy in the background. You know, they know who I am, and try to talk a little bit and see where they're from and all of that stuff. So, it's a blast. I mean, if anybody likes people, it's a wonderful job. It's great. You meet, you know, we had a guy the other day in the All-Star game in Madison. He's from Australia. So you get to talk with him. You know, he came over to the States to play baseball. And, you know, I'm fortunate in that I work with guys from Russia and the Czech Republic and all of that on a daily basis come hockey season, you know, and you really get to learn a lot. It's a blast. I mean, not only can't you do enough prep, I don't think you can do enough learning. It's wonderful to meet people from all over the world.
That's cool. I think it shows your childlike personality with the, just being curious and having the passion behind what you do. Would that be your favorite part of your job? Is the people, or what are some of your most favorite parts of your job?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. Yeah, getting to meet all the people, getting to travel. I mean, you know, you get sports specifically the jobs I have done and continue to do, it affords you the opportunity to travel around a little bit and see the country and see the world and get to meet the people, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, you try to assimilate or you try to observe or whatever you want to do. That's easily the best part. And then beyond that, you know, you get paid to watch a game, and you know, and I know sports has become big business and everything, but you know, at the core of it, I think the reason people enjoy sports is because it's still a game. It's not CNN. It's not turning on the news and seeing the bad things going on. I mean, it's an escape. It's a place to share some time and hopefully develop some memories with the people you love. And that's another great thing about it. You know, I get to do that. I get paid to do what I don't think anybody would turn down. It's fantastic.
How is that different from when you were 8 and you wanted to be in broadcasting? Something tells me that you when you were 8 you weren't thinking about, oh, I'm going to be able to meet all these people and travel around and learn this stuff. What was your desire when you were 8, and how has that changed? Because I think that's probably been a surprise to you after having gotten into it, of how many more awesome parts of the job there are than maybe we even dreamed.
You know, when I was 8, I knew I just wanted to be on the radio or be on TV and talk about baseball, you know, or talk about hockey. That's all I knew it was, you know. I didn't understand everything that goes along with it. And I grew up, you know, I'm 35, and the Cold War was going on pretty hardcore. And I remember I talked to my dad one night about, we had a guy named Timofey Shishkinov that played for the Admirals hockey team, and he's since gone back to Russia. But I remember telling my dad how I had this great conversation with him as our plane was delayed, just about his life there and about all of that. So, yeah, when I was 8, I certainly didn't think I'd be hanging out with athletes. I just thought you got on and talked and did baseball and then went home and that was that. So you got to watch baseball, but
checked out baseball cards.
Exactly, and that's totally what I wanted to do. If I could have been around baseball cards my whole life, maybe I should have opened up a shop. We'd figure out where I was at. But absolutely. I mean, there's certainly a difference, but I'm glad there is. It's so much more, and it's really rewarding to try to get to know these guys and their families, and you know, when their families do come over, you know, they'll come over for a week or two and get shown around, and you know, they're so wide-eyed to everything. It's really amazing to get their experiences and to watch them try to observe as much as they can, because I've been on the other end.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's a neat experience. So, all these things that you love about your job, what's your least favorite part about your job, if you could think of something?
Oh, you know, it's easily being away from my wife as much as I am.
Okay.
And I've been really lucky, and my family for that part. They're all back in the Twin Cities, and I mean, I would love to see them all the time. My sister just had a baby in April. It's my first nephew, and I'd love to sit there and shower him with gifts and all of that, but that's the roughest thing. You know, my wife, I'm fortunate, we've met when we both worked in radio, so she understands the gig. She understands that this is what I've always wanted to do, and she understands that there's long hours and there's travel involved and all of that, and she really is the best. I'm really fortunate to have met somebody like that, but that's the worst part. You know, there's not enough time, it doesn't seem, to be there, you know, whether you need to be or whether you'd like to be. And that's the roughest part.
Yeah. Well, that's there's never enough time. That's pretty
common. Yeah, you're right. So I mean, you try to figure out how to make it, and yep. You know, and fortunately, you know, I'm not, enough, no offense to people who have these big 8-to-5 jobs where they're running a machine or anything like that, but your family can't necessarily visit you on those kind of jobs, you know, where I'm fortunate enough that, you know, if my folks are in town, they can come watch a ball game and listen to me talk.
Yeah.
You know, that's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. So by providing entertainment like you do, you're really, a big chunk of what you do is helping people stress less and have more fun, which is pretty much what we're all about. What's your take? What do you think effect sports has on people to help them kind of escape that busyness of adult life? What do you see in that?
I think when you go to a building, whether it's the Bradley Center, whether it's the Bradley Center to watch the Milwaukee Admirals, or whether it's Warner Park to watch the Mallards, or Lambeau Field or whatever, it's this great sense of community. Now, you're all there for a purpose, to see a good show and to root for the home team. and I think people, you know, it's pretty easy to have differences with your neighbor and all that stuff, but especially in this state, the guy across the fence is probably rooting for the Packers. And it's something that everybody can agree on. You know, it's that old City Slickers quote where in that Billy Crystal movie where Phil was talking about how him and his dad never spoke, but they knew everything about the Pittsburgh Pirates or something like that. And I think it gives you that sense of community. It gives you, for some people, like I said before, it's an escape. For some people, it's the memories they had when they were kids that, you know, it was so easy, especially back then, get on your bike and head to the park. There weren't a lot of worries like we have now. Fortunately, there weren't. Unfortunately, we have all these other things going on where we do have to be careful with all of this stuff. But I think that's a lure. I think, you know, like I said before, I'm 35, and I've probably waxed nostalgic more than anybody I could think of, you know, about when I was 9 years old, we did this. And I mean, I sound like I should be talking about walking uphill both ways.
And in the snow.
Barefoot.
Exactly. But I think people, obviously, everybody does that. Everybody has sweet moments from their childhood, and I think sports bring back a lot of them because that's how we spend our days, was playing sports, was ice skating, was playing games with our friends, things like that. I think that's a big thing that people hang out to.
Yeah, a couple of things that come to mind. You had mentioned about the Billy Crystal, the City Slickers, and it's interesting that sports, in a lot of ways, it does provide that context for fathers and sons to kind of have this shared bond, which is huge. And I don't know if I have run across too many guys who are able to not tear up at the end of Field of Dreams, where Ray Kinsella gets to, you know, have the catch with his dad and stuff like that.
No doubt.
And you were talking earlier too about how it's ultimately it's just a game. And I don't know if you were. If you were working last night or had a chance to watch the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, but I watched that to the full end late at night, and it was really fascinating because they showed the graphics of, you know, how much Yankee Stadium cost to build when it was originally built, and that like 40 of the players are now making more per year than it cost to build Yankee Stadium. And so, you know, the majors, you have all this pomp and circumstance and stuff, but as the game wore on, you could just see the little boys out there playing, and they wanted to win, and they were giving it everything they had, and you know, at the end, you know, you see like a White Sox guy and a Twins guy hugging each other, and you know, in a couple days they're gonna go back and fight it out in the pennant race. But it was just really neat to see that, how it was able to break down just to the core element of, this is a game, and the guys playing and the people watching is just like this really fun escape, and in this case almost 5 hours long worth of baseball. But it made me think of that when you're talking about how the game aspect is so important in terms of just realizing that, you know?
Just real quick on that, I mean, you know, Alex Rodriguez is making $30 million a year or whatever it is, and guys are making billions and millions of dollars. But, you know, they wouldn't be doing this if they didn't care to do it. I mean, you know, I can't think of one baseball player that's come to Madison in my time, and many of them have gone pro. Many, you know, there's one right now, soon to be more, that play in the major leagues. And they wouldn't be doing this. They wouldn't be putting themselves through all of this if they didn't just love hanging out and doing everything. And you always ask, you know, when guys retire, what they're going to miss most. They're going to miss the other people in the locker room. They're going to miss the, you know, all of that stuff. They're going to miss playing the game and things like that. So these guys get paid, and in many people's opinions, they get paid way too much. But the crux of it, they're still, you know, whether it's male or female, they're still little boys or little girls that once they're out on that playing field.
Yeah. So our normal question that we usually end in is what did you want to be when you grew up? But we kind of have that answer. So did you have any role models? Who were your broadcasting role models?
Oh, I've got a lot. The Minnesota North Stars had a guy who's in the Hockey Hall of Fame now. His name was Al Shaver. He was the only radio play-by-play guy they ever had in their 27 seasons in Minnesota. And his son, Al Shaver's son, does Minnesota Gophers hockey now, and his name is Wally. Wally's son has actually become a very good friend of mine. He works in the league that I work in down in Houston. So it's great getting together with him because we're the same age, we're from the same area, and we have the same reference points. We can talk about guys that we thought were bad with the North Stars, or, you know, he has stories about his grandpa calling games or stuff, which is fantastic. So Al Shaver would be one. In baseball, Vin Scully. And I'm in awe of Bob Uecker. Every time, when you listen to him, it's like listening to, it can be like listening to your favorite comedian do their best at it. He's tremendous how he weaves in and out, and he tells great stories, but he still explains the action. And I think Uecker is just, he's a Hall of Famer in every sense of the word. So, and then there was a few other guys in Minnesota, you know, you grow up and the local guys around town. Herb Carneal is a Hall of Fame baseball announcer. But, yeah, I've got a lot. I mean, you know, you try to draw a little bit, and try not to steal, mind you, but you try to draw a little bit and just, I guess, sit there and appreciate how well these guys do and how they're not using, especially in Vin Scully's case, how he's not using the same word to describe a single. He'll call it several different things, and those old baseball guys are unfortunately more and more not calling the games anymore, which is too bad because I think people are really missing out if they hadn't heard them before.
Well, that's where the opportunities for young bucks like you getting up there and carrying on the mantle. So,
yeah. So if anybody's listening to this and has a job in Major League Baseball, I'm ready.
All right. Aaron, before we let you go, we want to thank you for the time that you gave to us and sharing your feedback and your story. My little sports nerd is coming out again. And give me your, as before we let you go, give me your all-time favorite baseball player and your all-time favorite hockey player.
All-time favorite baseball player he played for the Atlanta Braves, a guy named Dale Murphy.
Okay.
And the reason I say Dale Murphy is because we never had cable when we were kids, but my grandpa did, and when we went up there for the summers, the Braves would always be on cable. And I love Dale Murphy. And my all-time favorite hockey player, I got a couple. They played for the North Stars. A guy named Bobby Smith, who was a center, and Kurt Giles is a guy who played defense. And I always wore, when I was playing hockey, I wore number 2 because of Kurt Giles.
Very cool.
Awesome. Well, it was certainly a pleasure, Aaron. I know you're a busy guy driving off to your game tonight, so thank you for taking the time and sharing your insights on all this.
Yeah, you're welcome. The pleasure is all mine. It's really nice talking to you guys.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.
All right, you too.
Goodbye.
Bye.